want to take our Bibles and turn, please, to Luke's Gospel in the chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 15. Tonight we come to the parable of the lost sheep. Most well-known passage, one that has thrilled the hearts of the Lord's people down through time. But how we need the help of God to understand this parable and to preach it. So we will open our Bibles here and then we'll bow together and let us have a word of prayer. Let us look to the Lord for that grace that we need tonight as we come to His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that it will please Thee to help us tonight in a very real and definite and special manner. Lord, we are before Thee, the one who knows our hearts, the one who understands our need. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be pleased to take the word that will now be read and be preached, and use it, O God, to bring home to the souls of sinners their great need, their desperate need of a Savior. Lord, this is something that only Thy Spirit can bring about, that only He can create, that knowledge of sinfulness, that consciousness of guilt, that awareness of the need of a Savior. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt do it tonight, and Thou wilt graciously and mercifully answer prayer. Come, Lord, and bless us now, we beseech Thee, and meet with us in a very real way. And we shall give Thee all the glory, for we pray this in the Savior's name and for His praise and honor. Amen. Luke chapter 15. Let us read together from the verse number 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. God will add His blessing to the reading of His own infallible and precious word. Our text this evening is verse 5. It is on that verse that we want to focus and use it as a springboard to look at this entire parable. Verse 5 says, And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. In this parable where our text is located, it is plain that the sheep is a symbol of the sinner. A conclusion that is in keeping not only with the parable itself, but especially how it ends up, but in keeping with so much scripture, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Indeed, we should notice that it will be found in the Old Testament that it was predicted that the New Testament ingathering of sinners was set forth in those prophecies under the symbols of the shepherd, the sheep, the flock, the gathering of the lost ones together. In Isaiah chapter 40, we have a tremendous prophecy of New Testament times. Any of us here this evening who have any understanding or knowledge of the Bible will know what that chapter records and presents. It sets before us, first of all, the ministry of John the Baptist, the one who goes as the forerunner to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to focus on our Savior's ministry itself. And in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord Jesus is described as the shepherd feeding his flock, gathering the lambs, carrying them, gently leading those who are with young. Therefore, we have in that great prophecy a presentation of the Lord Jesus and his people under these very same symbols that we find here in this parable. The same kind of language is found in the book of Ezekiel, which we will consider a little later, a few verses there, in Ezekiel chapter 34, where we read another passage, another prophecy of New Testament times, where the Lord is shown to be the one who seeks out his people and finds them and brings them to the fold and goes on to nurture them and feed them with pastors who are after and according to his own blessed and lovely heart. Now, with these Old Testament passages in mind, the understanding of these verses in Luke 15 is made all the more clear and all the more easy. Notice that the parable is actually addressed to the Pharisees. It was brought to them in response to their objections to the reception of sinners by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 tells us that the scribes and the Pharisees murmured because this man, and you notice these great words on which we've been focusing in this whole study of marvelous conversions in Luke's Gospel. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. When they saw the Lord receive these people and actually enter into fellowship with them and eat with them, they murmured. They murmured because these Pharisees were convinced that they were indeed the true sheep of Israel, while those who were coming to the Lord, these outcasts as they would have seen them, these publicans, these Pharisees, were most certainly not found, that is in the opinion of the Pharisees, were most certainly not found among those who are the true sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the religious hierarchy within the nation of Israel were persuaded that a special place was given to them, that there was a special relationship between them and the God of Israel because of their devotion to the law, because of their observance of the law and their religious recognition of the law. They felt that due to that, the Lord loved them more than anybody else. The Lord had a special place for them. The Lord had a special delight for them, and they were going to be given, they were very assured, everlasting life as a result of all their religious performances. And therefore the Pharisees were convinced that they were the true sheep of God, the true sheep of Israel. But you see, contrary to the opinion of the scribes and the Pharisees, many of the Lord's true sheep were found among those publicans and Pharisees who were continually approaching the Lord, hearing his word, being blessed by him, and being received by him. Verse 1 here describes an ongoing action. When it says in this verse, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him," we're not to understand or conclude that this was a one-off and once and for all situation. No, the language here in the original text indicates that this was constant. They were continually coming to the Lord Jesus. They were always approaching Him. They were seeking Him day by day. It was not a one-time event. It was a constant, ongoing practice. Indeed, as Mark tells us in his Gospel, people like these, the common people, heard Him gladly and rejoiced in being able to come to the shepherd and seek Him and hear His word and be blessed by Him, while the religious hierarchy rejected Him and they themselves were passed by and left in the darkness of their sin. May I point out to you that this very action of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is actually proof that these publicans and Pharisees were among the true people of God. That many of them were indeed the true sheep of Israel. You see, in John 6 verse 37, the Lord makes this statement, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." From that verse, we are taught by our Lord that a mark, an evidence of being one of the Lord's true people is coming to Jesus Christ. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Now, my friend, what a privilege it is to be drawn to the Savior, to be brought to the Lord Jesus, because coming to Christ is actually a demonstration of having been given to Christ. And therefore, when these Pharisees and scribes murmured at those who were coming to the Lord and were being received by the Lord, that was actually proof that they themselves, the religious crowd, were not what they claimed to be. That is, the true sheep of God, the Lord's true flock. Whereas these publicans and sinners, they demonstrated that they actually were by their coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a proof of being among the sheep of God when sinners come to the Savior, when they're brought to Him, when they gladly receive Him and are received by Him. My friend, that's a mark. That's an evidence of being among the sheep of the Lord. Therefore, this parable was delivered to show where many of the Lord's sheep are actually found, where they are to be discovered, and thank God where they are still being found. That is, among those whom the religious hierarchy still to this very day would regard as being the riffraff and the offscouring of society. And yet, it is actually there that many of the Lord's sheep are to be found. That should show to God's people tonight the need to go after them. The need to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. The need, as I've been seeing in all these studies in Luke's Gospel, to go out into the highways and the byways of Ballymena and surrounding areas and find the sheep, even among the very, very lowest, from a human perspective, of a fallen society. The Lord's sheep are there. Christ is showing us that. You will not find the Lord's sheep, my dear friend, in places where you might expect to find them. You will not find the Lord's sheep in religion that's apostate and ungodly and against Christ. But you will find the Lord's sheep this night among those whom the religious hierarchy would actually scorn, even as the Pharisees did in their day. And let us who know the Lord never look down our noses at the man in the gutter, the man in the very depths of sin, because there could well be one of the sheep of Christ. And it's our work and our ministry to take the gospel, even as this parable shows us, and go after the sheep like the Lord did until we find them. But you see, along with the truth that many of the Lord's sheep are found in that kind of category. There is also the great truth here in these words and in this parable of the great things that the Lord is able to do for those whom He seeks out and whom He finds. That has been the burden of the studies in the Gospel of Luke, to look at the great things that Christ actually does for poor sinners. And that's why I have this text before you tonight. Because in verse 5, there is a summary of the mighty work that Jesus Christ performs for even the very worst of men. As He has mercy on them, and He brings them into His fold. And by way of summary, therefore, in this fifth verse of Luke 15, there is revealed the marvelous work of Christ the Shepherd in the deliverance and in the rescuing of perishing sinners. And it's on that I want to focus tonight. There are three views of Christ in this text. Look at the text again. And when He hath found it, He layeth it on His shoulders, rejoicing. There are three views of Christ in that text. In what He does. What He does. For the lost sinner. For the one who needs to be rescued. Notice first of all the shepherd searching. It says, when he hath found it. And the words imply, don't they, right away, a search by the shepherd. He finds the sheep. It's now found, but prior to that finding that's mentioned, there was a searching. There was the shepherd searching. And this is a major thrust of this parable. As any of us know who have ever read it or studied it, there is this great view, this prominent perspective set forth, brought to our attention of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, searching for the sheep. Indeed, my friend, that is a prominent perspective the whole way through the Word of God. It is one of the most amazing views of our Lord Jesus Christ that the Gospel sets before us. Here is Christ the Shepherd on the quest, searching, going after souls until He finds them. So there is the Shepherd searching. And we should notice here the personal nature of this search. Notice that it is the shepherd himself, this parable shows us, who actually goes and looks and finds the sheep. He does not use a hireling or an underling. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself going forth to find the sheep. Now we of course know that He uses instruments and He uses certain means to find those sheep and bring them in. That is very, very true. And I've just said that we ourselves need to be in view of the fact that we are to go after souls. But remember this, when the Lord uses anyone, it's the Lord Himself who has done the searching, who has done the great finding that's in view here. He's the one who knows where they are. And who reaches them through His servants and through His church and through the preaching of the gospel. But there is this personal nature of the search as we see the shepherd himself going forth. Now the Lord Jesus Christ goes on that personal search because the sheep belong to Him. Christ is the shepherd of this sheep in this parable. This is His sheep. And that sheep was given to Him, as the Gospel shows us, given to Him by the Father. How often we find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking of His sheep or His people in that way. For example, in John 17, seven times over, He says in that great prayer, "Thine they were, but Thou gavest them to Me." And therefore, since they're His, He goes after them, because they were given to Him by the Father, and He was charged by the Father to keep them and to deliver them as their shepherd or surety, as we can use the term. Remember that Jesus Christ has been charged to keep all those given to Him. He tells us that in John 6 and in verse 39. He says there so plainly and so clearly that of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I tell you, my dear friend, this is a personal search by Christ. The winning of souls, the finding of souls, the actual going after them, because they're given by the Father and He's charged to keep them. And furthermore, does He not tell us that He has shed His blood for them? He says in John 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. And therefore, it is a personal search. And thank God for that. Because, my friend, we can be absolutely sure, looking at this from a believer's perspective, that the Lord will most definitely find a sheep without fail. Look at Ezekiel, that portion I referred to a while ago. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12. And there it says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold I, listen to this very carefully, Behold I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. He says here, I will seek out and I will search my sheep and I will seek them out and I will find them. This is the Lord speaking. And therefore, my friend, we can have confidence tonight in every attempt that we make in giving out the gospel, in going after souls, in spreading abroad the word of God. Because through that means the Lord is seeking out and searching for His sheep, and He's going to find every one of them. How encouraging that should be for you to keep on witnessing, for you to keep on spreading the glorious gospel of God's sovereign and marvelous grace, because the Lord is going to use that to bring souls in and bring them on to Christ. That is why I said earlier, He does use instrumentality. He does use means. And what a privilege for the believer to be one of the instruments that God uses to seek out, search out, and find a sheep in the cloudy and dark day. It is a personal search, no doubt, this search of the shepherd as he goes forth to find the sheep. But we must notice what it actually is that prompts this search. Read the parable and discover that the language is permeated with concern. He discovers that there's a sheep missing, this shepherd, as the parable goes. And immediately there's action. The whole way through there's action. And therefore there is a holy concern. There's a holy anxiety over that lost sheep. There's an urgency that is prompted, you see, by the compassion and the love that Jesus Christ has as the shepherd in His heart. That great heart of compassion and grace and mercy, it prompts him to go and search for the sheep and find them and gather them home to the fold. My friend, that becomes all the more remarkable when we know from God's Word, as well as this parable, other places in Scripture, when we know that the sheep has deliberately gone astray. But that's the way it is with men. Understand tonight that when the Lord talks in this parable about the sheep, He's talking about a man or a human being. It's a parable. The sheep is a symbol of the sinner. And He's talking about men. And the Bible makes it so clear that men willfully, deliberately have gone astray. Yet the Lord goes after them. Think of the Lord's words through Isaiah. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. You see, my friend, our being astray, our being lost, was not a mistake. It's a deliberate, willful action. It's the sinner, in a cold, calculated fashion, deliberately choosing to go away from God, and away from truth,
and away from mercy and go down the road of sin. And therefore, when you see the Savior prompted by compassion going after the lost sheep, you must stand back in amazement. Because what that sheep deserves is to be left to the just deserts of its own willful disobedience. That's what every man deserves. My friend, here's the sheep willfully going away. Here's the sinner deliberately choosing to go down the road of sin and rebellion and defiance of God. And what he should get is, as I put it, the just deserts of his own sin. And yet here, in this marvelous parable, we see the Lord, in spite of the fact that he has been provoked and defied, going after sinners, searching for them. You know, you find that in the very beginning of the Bible. As soon as man had fallen, isn't it remarkable that the very first thing that happens after man has fallen and he's conscious of his fall, isn't it remarkable? The very first thing that happens is that he hears the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis 3. Read it sometime very carefully. There's Adam and Eve. There they are. Fallen, rebellious, sinful creatures now. Oh, what a tragic fall has happened. What has taken place in that single action? When they took of that fruit and disobeyed God. Oh, they have plummeted down into the depths of rebellion and darkness. And where are they? They're hiding in the trees, among the trees of the garden, because they hear the Lord coming through that garden, and he's coming after them. Isn't it amazing, my friend, that there's a picture of the sinner running away from God, running away from the very remedy that he needs, running away from the very merciful one who comes after him. And Adam keeps on going and hides himself in the garden. He can't face God, of course. He's ridden with guilt. He knows he has sinned. But there's defiance there. There's rebellion there. And God has to search him out. Say, Adam, where are you? It was not because the Lord didn't know where Adam was. He knew exactly where Adam was. It was to extort the confession from him as to what had taken place, and how reluctantly Adam confesses what has happened. Oh, my friend, man is a vile creature. Does he deserve salvation? Can you see anywhere in Genesis 3 or any other place in Scripture that any man deserves the mercy of God and the compassion of God? Not one. And yet here is this tremendous picture of the Lord, out of his love and his mercy, actually going after the sinner, searching for him, proving for him, and finding him in his own mighty sovereign grace and will. And when we understand that perspective of the mercy of God, it can only cause our hearts to be filled with amazement that those who have gone astray deliberately and should be left to their own, the consequences of their own sin, are actually sought for by the God whom they have sinned against, by the one whom they have defied. This is the amazing part of it. It's not that they are people who have got some good left in them. No, there's not a shred of good in man. There's not a spark there that is any way favorable or meritorious. There's nothing but rebellion, and defiance, and wickedness. And yet the shepherd is going on this personal search to find those who deserve nothing but his wrath and his justice throughout God's eternity. And there's so much in Scripture where you see that that line of thought coming out. This compassion that prompts and motivates the Lord to go after men. I tell you, my friend, there's no other explanation as to why any man is saved except for the marvelous love, the sovereign love of a gracious God who loves sinners in spite of what they have done, in spite of what they have wrought against this God, this shepherd. He loves them nonetheless, in spite of all that. And ever, what a picture here, the shepherd searching personally, prompted by compassion and love. And notice, my friend, the perseverance of that search, because it says there in verse 4 that he goes after that which is lost until he find it. Until he finds it. And those words, every little word here is so full of meaning. So full of significance. Until he finds it. Does that not tell you the tremendous cost involved in all of this? This parable, of course, doesn't give you the full picture of what Christ endured at all. But it's there at least by inference. He goes, he searches, until he finds it. The hymn that we sang depicts it so well. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night the Lord passed through, until he had found the sheep that was lost. I tell you, my friend, until he found it, he persevered. He never gave up, this shepherd. It is showing us Christ, who came the whole way from glory, who condescended, who humbled himself, and he would not fail or be discouraged, as Isaiah puts it, until he had found those lost sheep. And my dear friend, let me remind you tonight, it is so essential that the Lord persevere with men, because just like the sheep, there are so many sinners tonight who are not even aware that they're lost. You know, a sheep is a most silly creature. A sheep is insensible. It will wander on and on, senseless of having strayed, senseless to the point or the fact that it's actually lost. There are various animals who might wander off a little, but they'll come back. They'll get back home, but not the sheep. Its nature is such, it'll keep on going through fence after fence or hole after hole, wandering on and on and on. It's little wonder that God takes the sheep and he uses it as a symbol of man in his ignorance of actually being lost. And there are some of you here tonight, and it hasn't yet come home to your soul that you are lost. And that you sit there as lost as you ever could be. Sitting under the gospel and you're lost. Sitting under the means of grace and you're lost. And my friend, the point that we see here is the Lord perseveres in this search till he finds that sheep. The point is that if you are left to yourself, you will remain lost. That is why it's so good to have you under the sound of the gospel. Because it's under the preaching of the word that you begin to understand something, and then more and more, of just how lost you are and how needy you are. I'm glad you're here tonight, because it's in this environment and in these circumstances that you can begin to come to an acquaintance with the fact that you are lost. And if you're left the way you are, you will remain lost and you will go to hell. Because you see, the Bible says, there is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not
one. And therefore, how good, how merciful of our God, our Savior, to persevere with the likes of us. Keep on coming after us with the gospel. Keep on touching our conscience and probing our souls, shining into our hearts. Oh, my friend, that's mercy. You are under the means of grace tonight. Don't despise it. And don't turn a deaf ear to it. Listen. And recognize that there is one who comes after the sinner even when he is unaware that he's lost. And then, my friend, the Lord perseveres after the lost ones because they're in great danger. He goes after it until he finds it. The shepherd, physically speaking, he knows, especially in the eastern land on which this whole parable is based, the shepherd there, he knows exactly the danger that the sheep is in. He knows that it's a prey to many wild animals, and off he goes at once, and he will not give up until he finds that sheep, because if he doesn't, it will be torn to pieces. And the Lord brings that in until he finds it, to show to us that the perseverance of the shepherd is a reminder of you, to you, of the danger in which your soul is found. Even this very Sabbath evening. My dear friend, your soul is in danger of hell. May that sink in. You are closer to hell than you've ever been. Think of how much time has gone by in your life. Think of how far you have wandered. On and on down the road of life. And years have slipped by. And you might even wonder sometimes, where did they go? That's the way life is. But there you are. Time has gone. Opportunities have slipped away. You continued Christless and godless and hopeless. And there's only a heartbeat between you and hell. There's only a thread of brittle life between you and a Christless eternity. And therefore, see tonight from the picture in this wonderful parable, as the Lord goes until he finds that sheep, it's a reminder to you of your danger, the danger of hell. You're a prey to Satan's lies and deceptions and falsehoods. You're subject to all the danger that an ungodly world presents. And my dear friend, this world is full of snares. Pitfalls, dangers that are so many, you have absolutely no idea of the risk that you take as you go through an evil, wicked world without God and without a Son. Your soul is a prey to every unclean enemy and every malicious and hateful and spiteful effort of the enemy of souls. You're a prey to all that. You're in danger for all that. And therefore, my friend, what a wonderful thing that we see here tonight, that the Lord goes after the lost one and seeks it out because of the danger that it's in. And what a presentation there is to us in Scripture of the fact that Jesus Christ himself is the place of safety and refuge and deliverance. Over and over again in the Bible, God's people express that. Like Psalm 116 and verse 8, for example, where the psalmist has this to say, and what a reminder it is, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." There's the psalmist's testimony. Notice that he expresses that he was in danger.
before the Lord rescued him. "Thou hast delivered me," he says. And he mentions all these things. "My soul from death." The child of God can say that tonight. "God has delivered my soul from death." And yet there's some of you who sit here and you are still in danger of that death, that eternal death, that everlasting ruin. Believers here tonight, "Where sheep going astray," as Peter puts it in 1 Peter 2:25, "but ye have returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Let that be a reminder to you, sinner, that you are yet in danger because you have not returned. You have not gone to the shepherd and the bishop of the soul. Therefore, you're exposed to great danger. Terrible danger. May the searching shepherd show you this. Very quickly, we have the searching shepherd, but we have also the saving shepherd. What does the next little statement say? "When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders." There is the shepherd now in the posture and in the action of saving. Notice that it's on the shoulders that the sheep is laid. And the pertinent fact with regard to that statement is that it points us to the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, to be set on the shoulders is to be lifted up from one's former position. And that's what the Lord does when He saves people. That's why being set on the shoulders points us to the saving work of Christ. Because when the Lord saves people, thank God, He does lift them up. And He lifts them out of their former situations and their former circumstances and sin and their former position where they were lost. He raises them up out of that all together. And again, there's so much in the Bible that uses that very language. Think of Hannah's great prayer, 1 Samuel 2, and the verse number 8. And in that great prayer, as Hannah prayed, she talks about the Lord lifting the beggar from the dunghill and from the dust. And He sets him, it says, among princes. My friend, there's a marvelous thing. And here we are shown that the Lord does lift sinners. Didn't the psalmist say that in Psalm 40? "He took me from the fearful pit, from the miry clay. He set me on a rock. He established my goings." We have a Savior who saves people by lifting them. And when they are lifted, oh, it tells you how helpless they are. This sheep didn't climb up onto the shepherd's shoulders. The shepherd reached down and lifted the sheep. Because, my friend, salvation is of the Lord. You can't climb up. You can't lift yourself. You're wounded and broken, helpless and hopeless. But thank God there is a shepherd who saves by lifting sinners, by raising them up. And again, you see, to be set on the shoulders is an action of appropriation. The shepherd who lifted the sheep did so not as a thief. He wasn't a thief. This was His sheep. It belonged to Him. And now He comes and He finds that sheep, and with one sweep He picks it up. He sets it on His own shoulders. And in doing so, He is appropriating to Himself what is actually His. And He says to the sinner whom He saves, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, my name. Thou art mine." That's what the Lord does for men. He picks them up and He takes them to be His own. He appropriates them to Himself. And my friend, the amazing thing about that is that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to be identified with the likes of us. When the Lord picks up sinners, He picks up nothing. Nothings and nobodies. But this is His great work. And He makes them His own. And He's not ashamed to call them His. What a marvelous thing that the Lord would not be ashamed of the likes of you and me. I tell you, my friend, we, as we look at ourselves, we have all the right in the world to be ashamed of ourselves. And we have all the right in the world to hang our heads in absolute embarrassment before God and men. But Christ is not ashamed to call His brethren, take us to Himself. And you see, when He picks up the sheep, this saving act of the Lord, when it's set on His shoulders, then all the weight is on Christ. Isn't that the way it is? All the weight is on the Lord. He's the great burden bearer. You see, my friend, picking up the sheep is a reminder to us that all the weight is on Christ, because all our sin was laid on Him. When the Lord picks up the likes of you and me, He picks up sinners. He picks up those who have a mountain load of sin. Every one of us. And imagine that. All the totality of the sin, the awful weight of it all, of all those who believe in Christ. And He carries it all. Because the Bible says, He bore our sins on His own body to the tree. And when He picks us up, He bears the weight of our sin. And thank God He does more than that. He actually takes full responsibility for our souls to make sure that they will be safely kept and provided for. Their well-being is now in Christ. Dear sinner, I want you to see this tonight. The Lord doesn't save people and leave them lying where He found them. That's not salvation. The Lord doesn't either. He doesn't allow have them pick themselves up and try to make it through on their own. But the Lord comes and He picks them up and He carries them, and all the weight's on Him. You know, when you think about the shoulders, you are immediately reminded of Exodus 28. In that wonderful chapter, you have our Lord Jesus Christ typified by Aaron, the high priest. And the high priest wore various garments. He wore an ephod, for example, and this is where I want you to think here. And in that ephod, there were two pouches on its shoulders. And into those two pouches on either shoulder of the high priest were inserted two stones. And on those two stones were written the names of the tribes of Israel. And when the high priest went in before God, he actually bore upon his shoulders, representatively, the whole congregation of Israel. And here it comes out in this parable. Placed on the shoulders, the place of strength, the place of representation. Our great high priest lifting us up, bearing us up, carrying us, all the weight in Him. Every last one of His people, they're all there. They're all on those same shoulders, the mighty shoulders of Christ. He's able to bear to the very uttermost all that's laid on Him. Now, dear sinner, there's room for you. Those great shoulders are efficient to save 10 million worlds. Let's get that firmly into our heads. Because there's infinite power, strength. Dear sinner, if you will come to this shepherd and seek Him as your Savior, because of that other side, of course, to the gospel, and trust in Him, you will trust in one whom you can depend with all your heart. And thank God when he put the sheep on his shoulders, he then carried it the whole way home. You know, it's very interesting when you read this parable. May I show you this? As they talk about the shepherd carrying the sheep the whole way home. Verse 5 gives us the view of him picking it up, setting it on his shoulders. And then verse 6 says immediately, and when he cometh home. Notice that. There's nothing in between. What is this saying to us? Saying to us, my friend, when the Lord picks up a sinner, he's so sure of getting home that it's put this way. Now, undoubtedly, there's a lot in between. All the trials, all the tribulations, all the battles of life that we have to endure as Christians. But here's this glorious perspective of the gospel where the sheep's picked up and the next thing it's home. It's the kind of Christ we have. It's the kind of Savior we have. I can't understand why you will not have him as your Savior. Because in one sweep, he takes the sinner from the very dregs of earth's wilderness right into glory. And he will do that for you if you will come to him. The shepherd searching, the shepherd saving. And yet here's the most remarkable view of all. The shepherd singing. When he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Rejoicing. The shepherd singing. Isn't that an amazing view of the Lord Jesus Christ? That he would actually sing over the likes of you and me. That he would actually rejoice over those who are despicable in themselves and unlovely, and yet he does. You see, my friend, this is an amazing point because here's the shepherd singing, and it supersedes all the sorrow that he had to go through to find that sheep, rescue that soul, and bring that sinner home. Isn't it so like what you have in Hebrews 12, where it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. My dear friend, such was the great heart of our Redeemer, as it was set on the sheep, that though he did suffer indescribable sorrow and pain and agony, it was superseded by the joy that thrills his own soul as he sees the success of his work and the accomplishment of redemption and the application of it to poor sinners. Oh, the shepherd rejoicing. And the Lord does rejoice over his people. Zephaniah 3:17. Let me quote you that great verse as we close this meeting tonight. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God singing over sinners. Is there anything more amazing than that? God rejoicing over vile creatures. His spat in his face. Who have treated him with scorn. And yet he rejoices over them with singing. The shepherd, searching, saving, singing. Do you know the shepherd? Are you in his hands? Are you saved? I fear there are some of you tonight, and that's far from true of you. You're lost. Hopelessly lost. My dear friend,
this shepherd is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Come. Seek him. And seek him tonight. And may his great love envelop your soul. And his mighty grace bring you home. Let's bow together. Let's all just bow before the Lord. In a moment or two we will be at the end of this meeting. Could we have perfect stillness and quietness? Just for a minute or two. My friend, I am here tonight to help, to counsel, to pray with anyone who has been brought to the place where the need of Christ is felt and known, and there is indeed a desire to seek him. My dear friend, it's time you were saved. It's time you were saved. The danger is great. Come to Christ tonight. Seek us out for help, for counsel, for prayer. And it'll be my joy and delight to meet with you. Don't go away, but come to the Lord.